You know, sometimes, Jeff, when you and I have been talking about something in the banter, and then we're like, yeah, we should probably cut all that out because it's just the wrong segue for the topic.
Yeah.
I just thought of a song that I'm like, I can't do it. Can't do it. Yep,
no.
We have to move on. But that's why I'm laughing here, and I'm not even sure what else to banter about.
Look at
so maybe we just, I'm trying to have some self-control.
Look at you having the spirit control you.
That's right. It's the fruit of the spirit. It's the last one. It's the hardest one, but it's right there.
I tell you, dude, I have never, so I just got back in the country. I've been out of the country a few times already this year, but anyways, I was in Argentina. I was going down. Naomi's graduated from this 10-month intensive in Spanish and that she's been doing, which is amazing. Like, she was translating for me down there. So I wanted to go see her graduate, and then I was going to, like, because I haven't been there, so I was going to meet her friends, and I preached at her church, and et cetera. So anyways, and then we were just going to hang out for a couple days. So on my way down, the plane had mechanical issues, delayed 5 hours. I missed my flight to Argentina. I missed her graduation.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, it was just a mess. And then you're up for like 24 hours, you know. And then so got there finally, had a great time with her and the people there while I was there. Then we're getting ready to come home. They delayed our flight, then canceled it, then put us on a different flight. Didn't book us all the way through, had to argue with the person at the ticket counter, hotels, meals, nobody's helping. No, you know, they're like, yeah, you got a real problem. And I have never prayed for patience. I mean, I like literally, the first time down, I've been up for 24 hours, stuck in an airport, and I was like, I told the lady getting me the hotel voucher, I said, I am asking the Holy Spirit to give me patience right now. She looked at me like I was nuts. But I'm like, I don't know what else to do. I'm like on, because I am not a patient person, and I am not a person who by my nature bites my tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So like I'm like biting my tongue. I'm thinking of so many things that are wrong with this company. And so I've had the fruit of the spirit is what my whole point is.
Yeah.
I had to live a spirit-controlled life. And on the way back, Naomi was with me, and when they messed our tickets up again, I had the look, you know, and she's like, Dad. And I'm like, pray, because I'm about ready to take somebody's head off, you know. And so it was a So see, a little fruit of the spirit, Joe, goes a long way.
It does go a long way. Well, hey, thanks for checking out today's episode of Mixed Messages with
the
super patient and fruitful Jeff Bogue.
Vent.
I am Joe Caruso, and we're glad you're here. With a lot of voices out there. Sometimes they come from airlines. Sometimes they come from other places. But it's tough to know what to think and how to make decisions. So we want to offer you a resource that helps us cut through the noise and think through things in a way that allows us to cut through all the mixed messages around us and find the way to Jesus. So, Jeff, we have a submitted question today that gets into a little bit of what happens to us after we die. It's a kind of a straightforward question, and it's simply this. Is it okay to have a loved one who's passed cremated? What do we do with that? What happens with the body afterward? And why might that even be a consideration? Because there might be some of our listeners that would think, wait, that's on the table?
Like,
So help us walk through that.
Yeah, it's a great question. The easy answer is yes, it's okay. The reason why it's a question is in times past, the church has taught and pushed back against the idea of cremation. And it comes from our view of what the body is and who owns the body, and then how our bodies are going to be used eternally. So let me walk us through that.
Yeah.
I just said a whole bunch real quick. And I am jet lagged, so do my best here on 4 hours of sleep. So the scripture would say this, that our bodies belong to God. They do not belong to us. And our bodies are not simply temporal. They are actually eternal.
Mm-hmm.
So when we think about dying, what we would often say is that, you know, the person has left the body. And they're in heaven, and their their body is put into the earth. And we would comfort each other that way all the time. If you went to a viewing or a funeral and the person was a Christ follower, you would, with hope and joy, say, you know, they're not here. And we would say, yeah, they're in heaven. Their soul is in heaven and safe with the Lord. What the scripture then says is that the Apostle Paul describes our body as a tent, and what we do with our tent is we sow it into the ground, because our tent is going to be resurrected one day. And this is where our bodies are not temporal, they're actually eternal, but they don't belong to us. So my body belongs to the Lord. This is why Paul says you don't unite it with sin, because you're not your own, you're bought with a price. So my body belongs to God. That means I'm a caretaker of my body, which is why things like what I eat and alcohol and smoking and drugs, marijuana, those are all really important things. So think of it as of if I borrowed your car and I trashed it.
Right.
And or I filled it with when my truck was stolen a few years ago, they smoked a whole lot of pot in my truck. So for like 2 years, my truck smelled like pot. It's the most relaxing place I went during the day.
Oh, gosh.
So, but when they stole my truck, what was so offensive is it's not theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So they stole it. They abused it. They scratched it up, dinged it up. They smoked pot in it. They broke things in it. And I'm like, that's not yours, right? So the scripture would say, I think of my body that way. My body is something on loan to me. It's not to be abused. It's not to be abused by participating in sin. It's not to be devalued. So Big Macs for lunch every day is devaluing your body. Alcohol and drugs are devaluing your body, etc. So my body is not to be abused. But this version of my body is temporary. So it has a life cycle to it, right? And so one day, my life cycle will run out on my body. The Bible says that God holds our very breath in his hands. So whether accident or sickness or age, one way or another, the life cycle of my body is going to run out. That's where the Apostle Paul then says that this tent will be put away, and what is mortal is swallowed up by life. And then he says, so we sow the body. Like, think of gardening. I sowed bean plants about a month ago because I want some green beans. So I sowed a seed, and then my body will be harvested, so to say, at the second coming of Christ. So the Bible says that my body will be put away, my soul will be in heaven. If you're a Christ follower, my soul will be in heaven. The Bible says specifically about those who died in Christ that when he returns, the dead in Christ will rise first. So every believer whose body is in the ground or returned to dust in one way or another, our bodies will be pulled from the grave, they will be reassembled, and they will be glorified. So you see this a little bit with Jesus's body. Jesus left his body, his tent was in the tomb for 3 days, then his soul and his body was reconnected, and he physically rose again from the dead. He ate, he drank, the disciples touched him. But he also, like, walked through the door. And he did some weird stuff with time and space.
Yeah, not through the doorway, through the door.
Yeah. And then he would kind of do what he wanted. So his body was glorified. And when we get to heaven, there's a lot of speculation on what Jesus looked like physically. When we get to heaven, we will see Jesus' physical body glorified, that he is in right now. So that's going to happen to us. So I'm going to spend eternity in this body. Now it will be healthy. It will not be deteriorated through age. You know, like pretty much right now, every time I go down steps, my knees hurt, you know, and I'm like, that's age, right? There will be no sickness, so all disease, and there will be no ramifications of sin. So age and degradation is a ramification of sin, right? So all of that will be gone. This body of mine will be glorified, and my soul will be reconnected to it, so to say, and I'll spend eternity in this body. So you will look like Joe, and I will look like Jeff when we get to heaven, whatever the perfect state of that is.
Right.
Right? So I cherish my body. I utilize it for the Lord. I don't abuse it. It will be sown into the ground. It will go back to dust from whence it came, and then it will be reassembled and glorified, right? Now, where cremation comes in all that is because of that belief system, which is true. That's right in the scripture, kind of easy to find in the scripture. A thought process came from two directions. One was that if you value and hold something deeply, you don't burn it up. So we're going to kind of keep the body and the ashes in a box, so to say, so that when God goes to recreate us, it's easy to find the parts, so to say. The second pathway was that, especially I'd say the last few hundred years, maybe longer than that, but cremation was considered a pagan practice. So godless people would burn their dead. It's kind of where the taboo with tattoos came from, too.
Sure.
And so when the scriptures would talk about tattoos, it's not saying that tattoos are a sin. It was saying that adopting the traits and the fellowship of the particular pagan culture was what God was forbidding. So that led to a teaching that Christians shouldn't be cremated. And that teaching, some would still hold that. I would say even in our church's circles, I'd say up till about 30 or 40, probably 30 years ago, it was very, very odd that someone would be cremated. What happened then, I think, in our culture is that funerals and burials and embalming became very expensive. And I know this is weird to talk about, but I guess you and I deal with funerals all the time. We're used to it. But if you've never planned a funeral or planned for the expense of a funeral, it's many thousand. It's $5,000 to $10,000.
Easy. Yeah.
Easily. Mm-hmm. When you talk about a casket and you talk about preparing a body and headstones and grave, a place to bury and all the rest. And so, because that cost has gotten so high, a lot of people started going to cremation, and some of the taboos of cremation have gone away over the years. And so we have many people now who are cremated, and when we do a funeral, there's ashes. You can even do a open casket. You can rent a casket. So you can do an open casket with a view, a body that you would view, and then that body is cremated. And it's everything from where you can bury someone to spreading their ashes to expense to preference, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right? Now, the question is it a sin to be cremated? And I would say no. That God created Adam from dust and Eve from Adam's rib can reaccumulate dust any way he wants to. So you start to get into very easily logical questions, like what about a soldier who was on a battleship and was blown up and burned? What about someone who died at sea? What about someone who's literally just been dead long enough that they turned back to dust?
Or an amputee that whose limb is somewhere.
Right, and yeah, and so you're like, the logic breaks down pretty quickly. And the old answer was, well, God is gracious, God is gracious. And the new answer, at least for me, my answer is always like, well, God is gracious. And
one other example that we don't often think about is What if you were born without an arm or born without a leg? I would think that the glorified body for that person would have a leg and an arm. It literally came out of nowhere at that point. So God can certainly be gracious in all those cases.
And you just opened a very big can of worms. Mm. Because
I'm good at that.
You are good at that. is a body with a disability an unglorified body? Mm. See, that's all us.
Yep, right.
So we're the ones that are like, we think of deafness or blindness or Down syndrome or a birth defect. We think of that as broken.
Right.
That doesn't mean God. That's why we need to advocate for life in all forms of life.
Absolutely.
And it's why we need to cherish. I believe it's like some of the stuff you're talking about is like, say a special needs child. I'm like, no, the church should absolutely be involved in valuing them, helping them, helping the parent, because that doesn't mean that they're not glorified or perfect. Mm-hmm. That's just us saying that. So I don't know the answers to that, and the Bible's silent with it, but it's a real interesting thing. What I look at is, I'm like, God, I know that my body's going to be reassembled, so to say. I don't believe that the world's been around for millions and millions of years, but I do believe that there have been, over the course of time, let's say from Adam and Eve forward, there have been billions and billions and billions of people who have died.
Yeah.
And their bones aren't even around anymore. So they have returned to the dust.
Yep.
I also think there are times of emergency where you do burn body. I don't think you have desecrated the body, and I don't think that person has somehow put their eternal soul at stake.
Right.
If you are in Christ, you are secure in Christ.
Yep.
And what God says will happen at the second coming and what God says will happen in heaven is going to happen regardless of how we go down that path.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a sin. I think it's a preference. I will say this. Sometimes it is very healing and helpful to see an empty body. And actually, sometimes the more traumatic the death, the more helpful the viewing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so, but sometimes a body is very disturbed. Sometimes it's decayed before it's found. Sometimes it's broken before it's found. Sometimes it is traumatic to see, like a child or something like that. So that's where I think there's just a lot of freedom. And I think there's a lot of hope and trust that God is gracious. His word will be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. His will be fulfilled. And his passion for us will be fulfilled. And if you love Jesus and you're following Jesus, I think you have freedom with this conversation.
Yeah. Well, I hope that answers for our listener. It does, when you begin to think through it through the theological lens, the biblical lens, and even the logical lens, you begin to see God can deliver on his promises with even the most extreme set of circumstances. So I hope that's helpful for you. If you have questions you'd like us to tackle, you can head over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages and send them our way. We would love to hear how these conversations are helping you, so don't be a stranger. Let us know how God's interacting with you. If you're enjoying the podcast, make sure to subscribe, follow, rate, and review to help others find it too. And of course, we'd love to see you at Grace this weekend, whether in person or even checking things out online. Thanks so much for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice through all of the mixed messages around us. We'll see you next time.